closing out the set with Jervon Jackson, saxophonist, and his newest project, Jervon Jackson, The Gospel According to Nikki Giovanni, here on 90.5 WICN. Hi, Jervon. How are you?
Hey, Bonnie. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. You're not too far away. I guess you're in Connecticut?
Correct.
Yeah, share with the listeners a little bit about your latest endeavors and how it is you happen to be in Connecticut.
Right. I'm fortunate to be the chair of the Jackie McLean Institute, which I started here about 9 years ago. Since my time here during Black History Month, I would reach out to various scholars and individuals that could speak about their history as Black Americans. And so the list included Cornel West, Angela Davis, Michael Eric Dyson, whom I'm missing, Sonia Sanchez. This year, Terry McMillan. But in 2020, I invited Nikki Giovanni to the university. She came, and it was awesome. She received an honorary degree. While she was here in the auditorium, there was music being played that she heard and she liked, and it happened to be a duo of Hank Jones and Charlie Hayden playing spirituals. And she said, I'm such a fan of spirituals and I love jazz. I'd love to hear more of that. We kind of laughed. I said, well, we have to figure something out. And she laughed. And so a couple of days later, I reached back to her when she got back home and asked her if she'd select some spirituals, and that would be my next recording. So that's how it came together.
I love that. I love how it sort of was, you know, just an open, free thought, right? And then followed through and made it happen. Pretty
right.
Phenomenal collection of music. What was the process of pulling and, like, curating and deciding what would include some of her poetry and her spoken word and even her vocals on Night Song?
Once I got the list, and I just did some investigation and started listening to various renditions of these spirituals that she selected. At the time when she gave me the spirituals, she said, Jervon, there is one that's not a spiritual, and I'd like to sing on it. I'm not a vocalist. And I said, well, you're Nikki Giovanni. So she said, I wanted to do this piece to remember my dear friend Nina Simone. And so that was Night Song, which is a piece that Nina performed regularly, and it comes from a Broadway musical from the 60s called Golden Boy, which stars Sammy Davis Jr. That's where that piece comes from. But anyway, we knew that Nikki was going to sing on that particular piece, so we just framed it in a way where we'd leave a space, and then myself and the engineer went down to Roanoke, Virginia area where she lives, and we had her overdub, we call it, at the studio in her area. The other pieces, again, I just started to do some research and listen to the renditions of these various pieces. For example, Wade in the Water, I listened to many versions, but I enjoyed Sweet Honey in the Rock. And so in terms of the key centers, not to get too technical musically, but I decided to record the music in the tonal centers that the vocalists were singing them in that I liked. So you just play Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. There's an incredible version of Etta James doing that, and she does it in a particular key, D major. So although you sometimes unique keys for musicians, we get used to certain keys. I just put them wherever those vocalists put it. And so then from there, trying to find an arrangement, if you will, of how we would present it. I did want to have some poetry on the recording, so I asked Nikki, did she have one she could recommend? She said, whatever you want. Well, that's 40 years worth of, 50 years worth of poetry. So luckily for me, there's a colleague of mine at the University of Hartford, Dr. Markeisha Davis, that works in the Africana Studies, and she is a person very well aware of Nikki's poetry, and I asked her for a piece, and I gave her kind of a thought of how I would fuse this poem in between Wade in the Water and then kind of a 6/8 churchy kind of spirit at the end. And she came back with that piece, which is called A Very Simple Wish, which is incredible. And the young lady who does the speaking on it is a good friend, and we're on a Mark Twain House board together. Her name is Dr. Christina Greer, and she's a political scientist. She's an associate professor at Fordham University. And I love her voice. It's on MSNBC and other political shows. And I just asked her, would she be willing to read that lyric? She'd never done it before. I said, it's not hard. I just want you to come in and interpret it as you will. And she came in first time down and knocked it out of the park. Same with Nikki. So it really happened very organic, because I wanted to do the music in the same way as if we would go into a church almost, where the music begins, the vocals, the singing begins, and the singing ends. And we wanted it to be as natural as we could when we recorded it. I didn't use any headphones. First time I've ever been in a studio and never used headphones. We just tried to set up as much as a public performance as we could. And we were fortunate to kind of pull it off, I feel.
Beautiful. And I just played Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, where you're definitely quoting Sonny Rollins, your mentor. You stay in touch with Sonny.
Absolutely. Well, that's true because, again, when we think of that lyric, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, we know what it speaks about. But obviously, there are different thoughts about that, and that when we transition and we pass away, it could be or should be a signal of celebration regarding that person and their life. And so we thought, well, what would it be like to celebrate in a way of a calypso spirit, right? Or if you do it in a way that the musicians in New Orleans, they have another spirit when they support or when they pay tribute to someone who's passed on. And Sonny being obviously one of my heroes and someone that I have been fortunate to lean on for wisdom and thoughts and support, as many other musicians have as well, I just wanted to dedicate that. And there's definitely some quotes in there that allude to my love for him.
Once again, Bonnie Johnson bringing you the colors of jazz. I'm bringing you the colors of Javon Jackson's jazz here on 90.5 WICN. The Gospel According to Nikki Giovanni is the album we're talking about. Javon, you're coming into Scholars Jazz Club this Friday night.
Right. This Friday we'll be doing a CD release there. The day before we'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina, so looking forward to seeing everyone's smiling faces there in Boston. So I hope everyone can come out because we're going to do some of those things that are on the CD and some other surprises too. So really looking forward to performing in Cambridge. I haven't been there since the pandemic, it's been well over a couple years. I just hope that we can get many people to come out and celebrate again Nikki and the curation and just the history of spirituals and the comfort that the melodies lend.
Yeah, I think that is the key, the comfort that the melodies lend. There's just a healing that goes on through the music. And it happens to be Women's History Month. I've been playing and supporting women in jazz throughout March come Sunday. Yeah, and of course, this album being highlighted. So we want folks definitely to support as we are an NPR jazz station. We are your only NPR affiliate jazz station here in this area. And Javon, you have a connection to the Boston area.
I went to college in Boston. I went to Berklee College of Music. I have a lot of friends there that I still stay in contact with. So Terry Lynn Carrington, Billy Pierce, others. So it's somewhat of a homecoming to come back to play in the Boston area because I've played there with various artists for many years, but every time it has some special meaning. And this time would be the first time I've played this since some of the musicians I've played with have passed on, Jimmy Cobb, Dr. Lonnie Smith, and others like that. So it'll be, every time you play, it's a little bittersweet sometimes when you come back and realize, wow, the last time I played here was with Jimmy at Scholars. Yeah. But in that spirit, we're going to come and we're going to have a great time, and we don't want anyone to feel that the music puts you in any, there's always this kind of reticence in terms of what spirituals represent and what we're trying to say. We're not trying to make any
statement. What you're saying.
We're just adapting the music of the spiritual for the jazz quartet in this way. But we're doing it obviously respectfully because we want to make sure that the music pays tribute, but we're not trying to make any kind of statement to anyone that they can't come. And whatever your affiliation may be religiously, really it's not about that. It's more just the lyrics, and most of these pieces that we're doing, everyone knows them anyway. But I just think that it is interesting when you get into the history of these pieces. For example, we did Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. Well, it's kind of interesting that Nikki says that whoever wrote these songs, because we don't know, but they had a certain amount of optimism because they didn't say sometimes or they didn't say all the times I feel like a motherless child. They said sometimes.
Yeah.
So it shows you that in the midst of a lot of the things they were experiencing, there was still optimism and there was still hope for a better future. So that's what the music is allowed for, us to pay tribute to the spirit and the development and the progress that we made in this country.
Absolutely. And ironically, Nikki Giovanni is going to be, I'm actually attending a virtual with her on the topic of hope, which is sort of interesting, you know. And I guess this project really reflects a couple of things. It is sort of looking back and sort of paying homage to our ancestry, jazz and its own ancestry, and kind of bringing forward the next generation of of jazz, which is what you truly represent, you know, and you're teaching the next generation. Here at WICN, we have a program we call Instrumental Partners. Folks are able to bring in their old instruments. We have them refurbished and then distribute them out to students in the schools locally here. Our Instrumental Partners are very powerful and active program. I wonder if you share a little bit what the energy of teaching, what that's been like.
Well, that's really wonderful. I want to say, too, the other aspect in my career has always been, I've been fortunate to be with a generation before me or a generation or two before me. So when I came to New York, I was brought there by Art Blakey. So there's a person that was at least two or three generations ahead of me. Then I worked with Elvin Jones, same situation with Freddie Hubbard or Ron Carter, Cedar Wall, all those individuals that a lot of jazz musicians have had opportunity to play with. But the opportunity to speak with people from different generations and get in perspective from maybe the younger person's energy and the wisdom that the other generation gives back, and there's a sharing, right? And so that's what I believe teaching is. For me, teaching is learning. Because to be a good musician or to be a good anything, I think you have to be a very good student. So you have to be able to share, and you have to be able to learn from the people that you're working with. Because as we teach something, we're still trying to hone or refine the very information that we're trying to give out. And depending on how that individual takes it or how the questions that they come as they try to make sense of it, then you get a chance to learn and relearn how you are developing this material, whether it's a scale, whether it's a song, or whether it's a long tone as a musician, a horn player, a saxophonist, trumpeter, so forth and so on. So all these different things that we do are, for me, they come from that perspective. I'm trying to share during the process. It's a back and forth, because we all try to run this race as best we can, and then we don't run the race, we pass the baton. But we pass the baton, we would hopefully that we sat down and had a conversation about how we run the race. So that we're just not putting them out there and just say, here's the baton to go run. Well, yeah. Okay, well, but you didn't tell me as I go around the track what I should think about obstacles and things like that. So for me, that's what's been helpful with Nikki, is because I'm a fan. We're friends, obviously, now, but I'm still a fan, and I'm still very appreciative of her openness and her willingness to be a person of service. And I think that's what we're all trying to be in our own way, is how can we be of service to others, to the planet, to situations that arise, and realize that it's bigger than us. All of this, in my opinion, is bigger than me. It's not really about me. If I make it about me, that's when I have problems. That's when I struggle. But if I can keep it and remember that it's bigger than me, I'm just a small part of the whole process.
You are taking words out of my mouth, and I really love that perspective, Javon, especially on a day like today. Again, as I mentioned, we're in the midst of our member drive. Want folks to call us at 508-752-0700. But the message is clear. Through supporting jazz on the radio, to supporting WICN, supporting the musicians, but essentially bringing the service of music to you has really been a tremendous and powerful position to be in. Folks can get online at WICN.org. We're streaming live. The music is there for you 24/7. Javon, again, back to you came up in Denver, Colorado, but I love the story that you share about being in the McDonald's marching band, like being a marching band in high school and just having that as part of your narrative and coming up. And I think that opened the door, that national appeal of being a marching band for you.
Right. I was in a high school marching band, and this opportunity came up that you could audition at that time. And I don't know if it did that. It might still exist. I think it does. But you would audition, and each state would select two people to represent the state, and then that group would march on Thanksgiving Day, Macy's Day Parade, and then on New Year's Eve, Tournament of Roses Parade out in Pasadena. And then also there was a small group, a smaller jazz group that was put together out of that band that would be on the Jerry Lewis Telethon. Jerry Lewis Telethon isn't a big deal anymore, but as you know, it used to be a big deal. But during that time before that, I became aware as a person of 15 or 16 of this young trumpet phenom that was playing with Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. His name was Wynton Marsalis. And my father had lots of records, my mother and father. And once I began to know about Art Blakey and his history and that he gave young musicians an opportunity to play and tour, and then he would almost kind of rotating band and different people, and I started to learn the history. Well, then I said, well, I want to play with Art Blakey, and I want to do what this individual is doing, Wynton Marsalis. And he had a brother named Branford who played saxophone. So they became kind of my North Star in terms of me wanting to do what they were doing, performing on records and touring and things like that. So that was my goal, to meet them. And so real quickly, I actually didn't want to audition for the McDonald's All-American Band because I didn't think I'd make it. So my band director said, well, what do you have to lose? Were you scared? And I said, well, no, I'm not scared. He said, well, then what do you have to lose? Put your name in the hat and do the audition. I do the audition. I was accepted. So then get to New York City, and we go to the hotel, and we're meeting all of the various representatives from different states and begin rehearsals. And we had to do physical stuff, too, push-ups and some other kind of physical stuff, because the band director was from Florida A&M, and they had a great marching band, but they had other stuff in there, too. So there was other physical stuff we had to do. But anyway, I met this young man who came up to me, and I told him who I was. I was a representative from Colorado, and his name was Delphio Marsalis. And I said, well, are you Wynton's brother? He said, I'm his little brother. Yeah. Actually, he and Branford are going to come here. So later they came to the hotel and I met him, but my initial arrogance at not wanting to do it almost missed me from the goal that I had. So that's why I always tell people, do it, because when you put something out to the universe, it'll happen for you, but it doesn't necessarily happen the way you think it's got to happen. So that was a big lesson for me, that trust process and trust opportunities. Because you never know what could have happened. Even if I didn't get the opportunity to be in the McDonald's All-American at that time, I still would have learned and will learn the process of auditioning. Uh-huh. And each time you audition, or each time you get your interview, you become less nervous. Because you have to do those things to not be nervous. The only way you cannot be nervous is to do them. So forget whether you, again, make, don't worry about the end result. Just get in and learn from it what you can. So that's how that happened. And then, of course, I ended up going to Berkeley. Delphio was there, and we began a great friendship, and he kind of really pushed me. And then Branford mentioned to my parents that I think it would be a good idea. He had come out to Denver and played a concert with Wynton, and he got to come over to my house and meet my parents and stuff like that. So all those little support systems allowed for me to get there, and which was the goal was to play at Art Blakey. But it wasn't right to New York. It was to Boston first and spend some time there, and then opportunities allowed for me to audition. But the road wasn't from Denver to New York. It was Denver to Boston, then back to New York. You know what I mean?
And all those connections in between. And I think the risk-taking, which is so synonymous with what jazz is, right? It is the improvisation that you bring to life through the music.
Right.
Well, again, Bonnie Johnson bringing you the colors of jazz, bringing you the colors of saxophonist Javon Jackson's jazz. Javon, there's a question I like to ask all my guests, and I'm going to ask you, what color is influencing your day? Maybe you have a favorite color you'd like to share.
I like green.
That's our color today.
Is that your color?
Yeah, it is today, for sure.
Yeah, well, that was having a little fun with money. I like green. You. So, but
absolutely.
But I like really light blues. I like lavenders. Mm-hmm. I like olives. I like grays. I like lighter colors, light brown, almost like an earth tone type color.
Well, that brings me to your cover, because all the colors you just mentioned are on, and I was going to ask you about the floral illustrations on the cover of Javon Jackson, The Gospel According to Nikki Giovanni. Mm-hmm. And I even noticed you have a few covers with floral, and a little bit about your CD jacket, if you could share.
Right, well, the artist, her name is Jo Gilbard, and she lives in New York City. She's fantastic artist, and the only, I didn't give her any instructions because she's an artist, but I did indicate to her that I would like my covers recently. I'd like them to look like a really nice postcard. Where if someone gives you a really nice postcard, you don't want to throw it away.
Not that
someone want to throw the CD away, but I wanted to get something that if you're in a jazz venue and as you're leaving, I'm asking everyone to have a look at the CD, the cover will just say, oh wow, it's
beautiful.
Interesting cover.
Yeah.
And it'll something that maybe you don't want to put down. And then the last one, knowing that we're doing these spirituals, when you think about Easter, for example, and those that go to church or see women at any kind of church, whether it's Catholic or, I live across the street from an Orthodox synagogue, and when you'd see the women on special days wearing these hats, all these colors or dresses with all these light colors because it's in April.
Yeah.
So that's kind of was the theme. I just wanted to think about all the colors that I see on the beautiful dresses and hats. So that was the only instruction.
I love it.
I just wanted those colors.
Love that. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you this afternoon. And really, thank you so much for taking time to call and for sharing your autograph and inviting Nikki Giovanni to autograph the CDs as well. And we're going to see you as scholars on Friday night.
Thank you. And I do want to say this. Your station has been in the game, as we like to say, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you provide so many opportunities for musicians to be heard. And you've been a gateway for many years. So I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk about my CD, but hopefully if I'm able to inspire your listeners to continue to support, because without them, we couldn't function, and without you, musicians have no vehicle in terms of being heard. So again, we're all working together, and the great Jimmy Heath would always tell me, it's all about connection, and so this is all about connecting in ways that we couldn't have it without this medium, which is your station.
Ashe, and thank you. Much gratitude for that as well. All right, Javon, be in touch and keep on keeping on.
Thank you, Bonnie.
In the words of Clark Terry, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Thank you.
All right. Bye now.